Good morning. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here to address you and to give you a few of my thoughts on what I confront on a daily basis. I think the primary reason I was invited to speak is because my law firm represents Feld Entertainment in a lawsuit that has lasted 13 years, brought by various so-called animal welfare groups, challenging, well, that's what they call themselves, challenging the company's methodology for their husbandry and care of their Asian elephants. So it's not necessarily an animal agricultural issue, but it's an issue that this company faces, and I think will, as you'll see from my talk, the strategies and methodologies used in this case could affect every one of you. When I was asked to speak, the animal ag people came up with a title for this talk, which was Taking on Activists in the Courtroom. And when I started to prepare for this, I thought, you know, that title really is not accurate in two respects. The first inaccuracy is the use of the word activists. And I think the kind of litigation that I face is not brought by activists. Thurgood Marshall was an activist. Martin Luther King Jr. was an activist. What we face is litigation and other actions by special interest groups with a radical agenda. And I say special interest groups because the opponents of my client and the opponents of many of your clients are well-financed, well-organized, inside the Beltway organizations that are funded by donations from the American public, many of whom have no idea where that money is being spent. And they are just as driven by the almighty dollars of for-profit corporations. That's not what I call activism. And they have a radical agenda because in my world, they take positions that I think are so far to the extreme that they don't even sometimes pass the laugh test. A lawsuit was brought, as you all, I'm probably sure, have read in the media last year, in which the argument was made that an orca is covered by the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution. And the only sad thing about that case is that the federal judge actually took up federal court time to consider that issue. One of the lawyers that I've been in combat with for the last 6 years actually told a federal judge in court that an African elephant is better off dead than in an American zoo. So you're facing not activism, you're facing people with a very radical agenda. And the point of this is not to make things better for animals, make things better on the assembly line. It's not to bring more humane practices to bear. It's to destroy your business. They are out to destroy your business. In the case of my client, the argument was, we just want to see more humane treatment for the elephants. We just want to see the judge stop the use of these two tools that we think are inhumane, the so-called bull hook and the tethering of animals for transportation and husbandry. But if they succeeded in that case and had gotten an injunction against those two tools, the company would not have been able to have elephants in the circus, period. From the company standpoint, if you don't have elephants in the Ringling Brothers Circus, you don't have a circus. It was an attempt to destroy that economic enterprise. The other inaccuracy about the title is in the courtroom. When they pick a fight with you, it'll be in the courtroom, but it'll also be in every other possible venue you can think of. They will go after you in the legislature, at the federal, state, and local level. My clients had to face bills in Congress to ban the use of these tools in the circus. They've had to confront legislation at the state level, and in some, the local ordinances as well have been passed. They will confront you in the administrative process. My client's regulated by the United States Department of Interior, the United States Department of Agriculture. It's a constant conga line at both of those agencies of complaints about how the elephants are being treated, how they're being cared for. They will show up in many cases when the show is on the road with local animal control officers. They'll try to insinuate themselves into the local inspection process. So they will come at you from every possible angle. If you get sued, they will come at you in the media. Their media strategy will be part of their legal strategy and vice versa. They will try to infiltrate the scientific community. when some of these cases are brought, and as in the case that we had, one of the issues is, do these practices really affect these animals? That's somewhat of a scientific proposition to be testified to by animal behaviorists and veterinarians. So then you have a scientific basis for your claim. Well, how do you have a scientific basis for your claim? You have to have people who write articles, who do the so-called research to support the propositions. And so they go out, they do the so-called research, they write the articles, and then they transform themselves into expert witnesses. And so if you're in one of these industries where that the scientific or veterinary issues become relevant to your case, they're going to be out there writing the articles. They're going to be out there trying to make this look credible. They will come at you in the legal community. They will try to and have gotten involved in mainstream organizations like the ABA, the Animal Law Committee of the old tort insurance defense law part of the bar has now an animal law component, and it's populated by people from these various organizations. I don't see on the list of these meetings very many people from industry showing up. So if you have lawyers who are involved in your lives, you need to encourage them to get involved in the ABA and to get involved in the Animal Law Committee in particular. And then they, of course, as the speaker who follows me will talk about, they'll infiltrate your business. They will try to get jobs in your business. They will try to get on the as they do many cases with the Ringling Brothers, get positions on the show so they can take photographs, they can take videos, and they can pass that information to their allies. So it's a multilateral attack. It's not just in the courtroom. And our experience has been that when that kind of a fight is picked, it's essentially going to be a death struggle. And my own personal opinion here is if you think you can by peace with these forces, you're just kidding yourself. And I'm reminded of the quote attributed to Winston Churchill that a person, an appeaser, is a person who feeds a crocodile with the hope that the crocodile will eat him last. And I think that accurately summarizes this. Just very briefly, and the reason that I don't have a PowerPoint is precisely because of what I just said. They will come after me. And that means they will subpoena everything I'm saying here and have said in other contexts. So they want anything that I've said about them. So I decided, well, why make it easy for them? So I didn't do a PowerPoint today. But two things that I want to point out that I think create this environment are, number one, the various federal statutes that can be brought against your clients, cases can be brought against your clients, the Clean Water Act, the Clean Air Act, in my client's case, Endangered Species Act, they have so-called citizen suit provisions, which allows any citizen who's got a beef with what you're doing to bring a lawsuit. In our system, fortunately, we have a concept called standing to sue. So even though a statute may have that broad provision in it, in order to be a plaintiff, you have to be injured by what the defendant has done. Typical case, defendant runs you down in the street, you break a leg, you're injured, you sue the defendant. In these kinds of cases, these so-called environmental cases, the injuries are much more esoteric. The so-called aesthetic injury, which is what we confronted in our case. The barn man who was the plaintiff was upset about what he said he saw when the elephants were handled with these tools. Well, that's a very subjective injury, very subject to it's totally in the eye of the beholder. But that the breadth of that kind of argument allow someone like that to get in court and to cause my client to spend 13 years defending the case. The other problem here is all of these statutes pay the prevailing party's attorney's fees. And that has been part of environmental law and similar statutes for 30, 40 years. So it's become a cottage industry. These groups file a lawsuit, typically against the federal government. Federal government ultimately rolls over. They do something to change their ways. Maybe they lose the case, but more typically there's a settlement or there's some kind of resolution. People who brought the case get their legal fees. So it becomes a cottage industry. One case funds the next case. Now, unfortunately, I think there's not a whole lot you can do about the concept of standing to sue and aesthetic injury. It's been recognized by the Supreme Court. The aesthetic injury concept was recognized by Justice Scalia in a famous case. So it's a mainstream, well-recognized theory. But what can be done with respect to the second part of this, attorney's fees, is that can be changed. Congress can change that. There's a bill pending right now that was introduced last month in the House, H.R. 1314, which would prohibit attorney's fees from being awarded in an ESA case that has been settled between a private party and the federal government. Now, I think that's a start, but I think what really has to happen is those statutes have to be amended to go back to the so-called American rule. In this country, if you bring a case, you pay your own lawyer. If you lose the case, you pay your own lawyer. No one, the winner does not get paid. These statutes were passed in the 1970s when there may have been an argument that we have to pay the winner in order to encourage enforcement of the environmental laws. I think that's all changed, particularly when the primary plaintiffs, the primary people who bring these cases, can pay their own lawyers. So if you repeal that provision, I think you eliminate a lot of the abuse that we've seen. Now, I just want to spend a few minutes talking about the case that I've handled for Feld Entertainment. This case was filed in July of 2000 under Section 9 of the ESA, claiming that the handling of these Asian elephants constituted a take under the Endangered Species Act. The fellow who brought the case was a former barn man for the circus. He claimed this aesthetic injury. The case was based on his claims. This case was litigated for 13 years. It was tried in 2009. Having been dismissed once for lack of standing, at the end of the trial judge dismissed it again for lack of standing. And the reason was that the injury that this fellow had pleaded was not true. He claimed that he was attached to these elephants. He claims he was upset about their treatment. Went on and on in his deposition and at trial about how terrible the bull hook was, how terrible it was to use this. Well, we had a photograph of him using one. He went on and on about how he loved these elephants. Well, he filmed himself calling one of them a bitch. So his testimony was totally unreliable. The court threw the case out. In the course of that case, we found out that this same person with the so-called aesthetic injury had been paid by his own counsel and by his other plaintiffs, his fellow plaintiffs, to be a plaintiff in the case. They had paid him $190,000 over an 8-year period of time. So in response to that, my client filed a separate case claiming that that conduct constitutes a violation of the federal racketeering statute, constitutes bribing a witness, obstructing justice, and there's a civil cause of action if you're the victim of such conduct. That case was brought. Last year, the court denied the motion to dismiss and again denied a motion to reconsider the motion to dismiss, so that case is proceeding in discovery as we speak. In the meantime, in the first case, they go up on appeal. They bring in the most famous Supreme Court advocate in the United States to argue against me, Carter Phillips, Sicily and Austin. They lose 3-0. It goes back. We file a motion for attorney's fees, and the judge ruled on March 29, 2013, that Feld Entertainment was entitled to recover the attorney's fees it spent defending its case. This case, because it was, as the judge said, frivolous, unreasonable, and vexatious from its inception. 13 years. That is the first time in American history that a private company has ever been awarded attorney's fees under the Endangered Species Act. In the meantime, we entered into a settlement with one of the plaintiffs, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They're now out of the case. They paid $9.3 million to exit. And so, excuse me?
Have you gotten it yet?
Yes. That was paid by a wire transfer, which is another example of why it's not activism you're dealing with. But I want to say that the company, and this is public, we've told the other side, and it's in the documents, the company spent nearly $23 million defending that lawsuit. And that is $23 million that had to be spent on lawyers dealing with a case that the court said was vexatious from its inception. Feld Entertainment has 45 Asian elephants. They spend roughly $60,000 a year to care for these elephants, to breed them, to take care of them, to give them a place to go when they're retired. That $23 million would have taken care of that group of 45 Asian elephants for 8.5 years. So that's the kind of drain that it put on this company. And as we move forward, we're hoping to set the record straight. Thank you very much.